In the name of Jesus, I use this the final hour to share with the life of Joseph, his last class. And before we proceed to the life of Joseph, I want to use sometimes to answer the Q&A questions. I haven't answered you yet. I don't know who asked, but maybe it's also good for everyone to understand. There's a question saying, when you pray to God and you are asking a question, how do you know if God answers you or if you answer yourself? Do you know the question? When you pray to God and ask God a question, how do you know if God answers you or you just answer yourself? Actually, I think this is very simple, right? Any brother, do you have any idea about how to answer it? How do you know if God answers your question when you ask in your prayer or you just answer yourself? Brother? Brother? Hi. Anthony? You just know. You will know. Right? If you ask a question, because it depends on what kind of question you ask. So just like there's one sister. When she was in about the age to marry, and he asked God, God, who should I marry to? Right? He asked a question, the huge spouse. And then this question actually is not that easy, huh? Because she wanted to know the exactly which one. Okay. And later her mother dreamed a dream. And then show an image of brothers. And then she went to the daughter, I dream. God told me that is your future spouse. But this sister, actually, she also asked prayer for this question. And then, when she heard her mom say so, she was very glad God already answered her question. So, through all different kind of the way, and then informed the father, this God's will. God show me, you are the future, my future spouse. And the brother actually have no such movement from the God. So the brother actually confused. So is this prayer answered by yourself or answered by God? What do you think? What do you think? Same. Huh? My God? Because now this is a dream from others. And if the prayer answered by God, God will also move the brother. So this must be two ways, okay? So this is one example. If God really show you which one. Sometimes this is because our imagination or like we. There's one way. Maybe the mother hope this particular problem could be her son-in-law. Her wish, and then they come out, make up. Oh, this is God's will. This is God answer my prayer. It's wrong. It's wrong. So sometimes when we are asked the will of God, and we must be careful. God, Holy Spirit, will not confuse you. Holy Spirit will move the same time the other party. Okay? So, both sides will be moved by Holy Spirit and come out with the, oh, yeah, this is God's arrangement. So we must be wise enough to tell sometimes, yes, we may answer by ourselves and then say, this is God's answer. No. So how do we know God's will? In the prayer, when God answers our questions, you must have very clear, and this answer must be within Bible, must be biblical. You cannot use your own idea and then interpret by yourself, say, oh, this is God's will. No. So can you understand? So the answer must be tested first through Bible doctrine. You cannot conflict to the Bible. Oh, this is one example, huh? So when you ask God, if you have no clear answer yet, then what are you going to do? Continue to pray, continue to read the Bible, and God will actually show you from all different chance. Maybe through listening to a sermon, or when you read Bible, or just come out. Sometimes God will give us just a snack revelation. You just get it. You know the answer. Okay? So this is the question. The other one is the reason why I cannot differentiate between my conscience and the Holy Spirit because my faith is weak. Understand the question? Is the reason why I cannot differentiate between my conscience and the Holy Spirit because my faith is weak? Is it yes or not, sister? Is it the reason? So how will you differentiate your conscience and the Holy Spirit? And what is conscious? What is conscious? Your conscious, if we consider your conscious, before you know God, or before you have more knowledge about Bible, and after you know God's will, after you have more knowledge about God. Is there any difference within your conscience? What is conscience? Do you know what is conscience, sister? Conscience. No, and you don't know conscious? Impossible. Hi. Okay, Sarah, bring me. Huh? You're thinking. You're conscious. Come on, you have to know. You're conscious. Otherwise, how are you going to differentiate? Hi. Kevin. Conscious. Same. What is your conscious? What is conscious? No. No idea. Hey, Daniel. Daniel Kim. Huh? Your mind. Okay. Your mind is too broad. Mind is... Right? Right, Jackie. Which way is wrong and which way is wrong, right? Eh? So your own moral standard. So conscious is, maybe your conscious is different. Sam's conscious may be different from Marissa. If you spit, you know, somewhere, your conscious maybe it's okay, it's nothing. But to others, maybe, oh, this is so disgusting, right? Your conscience is different. So the conscience is your own standard. Because when you have done something, your mind, your heart, blame yourself. Oh, how can I do it? Just like sometimes your conscience may become so dumb. You don't not sensitive now. When you are in angry, maybe you just become very rebellious to your parents, right? If you are in a bad mood, then you just talk back to your parents. At that time, you don't feel any bad, right? Your conscience will not blame you. You just consider this is what I should react to my parents. But after that, your conscience may just give you a reflection about what I have done. So that's why sometimes we need a quiet time to really consider what I have done, what I have said. And this kind, sometimes your conscience will come back and to remind you, I am wrong. I was wrong. Okay? So conscience is your own. So people, if they have a higher, because we are all grow up in your own family. If your family, your parents give you a very high standard, your conscience will be very sensitive. Your parents have a very low standard. If you watch TV, if you turn on, go to see movie on Sabbath, your parents doesn't ask you to stop or change it, or you just consider it's known, it's okay, right? But on the other hand, you may consider even on turn on TV on Friday night, it's not appropriate. So conscience become different. So it depends on your family, your parents. But of course, after we learn something, we can build our own conscious standard. But after Jesus come into our life, then our conscience will be lifted up to match the heart of Jesus. So the more the Holy Spirit fills us, our conscience will become actually higher. So as a Christian, as member of TJC, our conscience, our standard must be higher than others. So Holy Spirit will give us the wisdom and let us know which way is right in the sight of God, which way is wrong. And then this is a way we can separate ourselves from the rest of the world. Okay? So we become children of God. So the children of God have much higher standard than the rest of the world. Yes. So if this question, is this the reason my faith is weak? Yes. If our faith strong, we really pray to be filled by the Holy Spirit, our conscience must be very sensitive. Even though we spoke one word wrong, we will know. Okay? So just like sometimes your parents, if they are very sensitive to about what they have spoken to you, sometimes they will come up with their unconscious ways. I haven't given you the right instruction. Parents also will say sorry to you. Okay, so as a bigger or older brother sister in your family, you will also apologize to your younger one. Okay, because you will consider, I'm not always right. Sometimes I'm wrong. Because what? Holy Spirit will move you, guide you. The word I say is wrong. Okay? The other question. In Ezekiel 40, let's turn to Ezekiel 40, verse 5. Ezekiel 40. Verse 5. Brother Jeremy, can you read? Okay. So, what is its significance? What does 1 = 1.1? 1 = 1.1. What is this significance? 1 cubit and plus one what? A hand breadth. One cubit plus. The one. So, what is its significance? The answer is to make up the length become one reed. One reed. Do you see? This one reed, the height and one reed, always one reed, right? Is your translation one reed? Huh? One rod? One rod, okay, one rod is the same. One rod. So, one rod actually, 3 meter. 3 meter. So, it make it even. So, that's why it come up with extra length. Do you get it? Because this is the size, the exact size of the temple, or the wall, and the length, it must make it equally. So one rod, one cubit plus this one to make it is six. Because here says 6 inch, right? That's a measure. Width of 6 cubit long by the cubit and the hand, right? Just make it this is the measurement only. Do you get it? Do you get it? No? Okay, you do it again. A wall on the outside of the house round about and in the man's hand a measuring reed of 6 cubit long by the cubit and the hand breadth. So it just make it the measuring become measurable. If you put it this how many cubits and how many width, you make it a lot long. Okay, so that's it. Okay, because sometimes your cubit cannot make it because you maybe need a cubit and 1/3. It's how I going to measure it, right? So you just use a cubit and then plus his, and you can have an equal length of one rod. Read. This is for measuring method. Okay, another question. What happens to your soul spirit when you die? What happened to your spirit? To your soul and spirit when you die. Huh? When you die, where is your flesh? Return to the earth. And then where is your spirit? Your spirit? Huh? Either one. Up, above or beneath. Okay? So, Bible in Ecclesiastes, turn to Ecclesiastes 12. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God who gave it So that the spirit returned to God, but the flesh returned to earth. But how about Saul? Saul. What is Saul? Huh? Thinking? So actually I don't know the exact answer. Because so far there are so different saying about how to divide it ourselves as human being into, people say, three parts, three components. Some said two parts only. Soul and spirit become one, and flesh, or just spirit, body, and soul. So right now, just depend on how you interpret the spirit and soul. But in the Bible, in New Testament, we can see people sometimes they use this verse to view it in different parts. It's in 1 Thessalonians. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians. Yeah, 5:23. So the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and the soul and the body be preserved, blameless to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So your spirit, your soul, and your body be preserved, blameless. So now our body, we know this is from earth, return to dust. But spirit will return to God, right? And then the soul, where does the soul go if we die? This, we don't know the exact one, but Jesus used a parable to tell us it may be just like what Jesus said in Luke chapter 16, the rich man and the beggar after they die. Remember? So Luke 16, verse 19 to 31. This is a rich man and Lazarus. All, they both pass away. And then in the Bible describes Jesus saying, in hell, he lifted up his eyes and being in torment and see Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So is this the spirit of the rich man or the soul of rich man? What do you think? If we look at Bible, Ecclesiastes 12, the spirit returned to God, right? And now, so the spirit of rich man must return to God already. But no, he actually is suffering in the hell. So by this verse, we may say this probably his soul is really suffering. Okay? But we just, as a reference to understand, we will have sense anyway. We will know, this is joy or this is suffer. So we have to make clear to ourselves, we have to bear the consequence. The punishment, we will definitely fear it. So some people consider, after you die, you don't feel anything. Then doesn't matter, it's in heaven or in hell. No way. Definitely, you will feel the pain. And that is forever. This is so terrible, right? Okay? And this is the question. And then, is there any other questions? Well, I think their question needed a lot of time to cover it. We don't have time. So what is the gospel to the... what is the gospel? This, if you don't know it, it's okay. Because This is, it's called heresies. The gospel of Judas, actually, to justify the death of Judas, who betrayed Jesus. And the real author, actually, is not Judas himself, but the other people, they just use his name. Try to confuse people about the love of Jesus. So if you don't know, it's okay. What was there a Bible before Jesus came? Was there a Bible before Jesus came? So this actually is the history. How this Bible come from, right? Who made this Bible? Yes. This is called Scriptures, Old Testament. Before Jesus, there are so many books among Jews already. They do have their scripture. So the Mosaic Law, the Prophets, the Psalms, Proverbs, and the Book of Job, all have been circulated in their communities already. Okay. All right. So this is a question, and then another one. My grandmother seems to have an unhealthy addiction to the computer. What can I do to encourage her not to go online so much? She used it during Sabbath to watch her entertainment. So your grandmother's addicted to a computer. So you can see the computer, the iPad, really can frustrate everybody, not just youth, right? Even the older one, the senior, will become addicted to the technology. And then, if she uses it during the Sabbath, that's a big question now. That's a problem. So we have to, how are you going to encourage your grandma? If you face the same situation, how are you going to do? We have about Kevin. Kevin, what's your suggestion? Okay. Is it good to you, sister? What is your suggestion? Anna. What? You don't know? Any suggestion? How about if you have grandparents living with you? Grandparents. Okay, right. Margaret. Take it away. Huh? You just set the duration, limitation to your grandmother. Then your grandma may be angrier, right? Will she accept your suggestion? If your suggestion to say, oh, you can only use 2 hours a day, no way. And if they are so obedient, then they will not addict to the computer already. Because they actually lack self-control, right? So what is the most effective way? If you need to be self-control, what is the most effective way? Self-control. Remember the fruit of Holy Spirit? Okay? So, the best way is you spend time with your grandmother to pray together. Because the grandmother, she needs entertainment. What does it mean, entertainment? It indicates the emptiness of grandmother, right? She doesn't know how to spend her time. So that means she has a lot of time. And she needed to do something.
And computer just provide her a very
convenient way to enter herself. So the best way is
you spend time with your grandmother.
You spend time with her, walking outside to do exercise. Maybe read Bible with her together, or you can really pray with her. And at least you can intercede for her, right?
So this also will apply to your future life.
The most effective way, most important way is to spend time with them. Not just leave them alone and then provide them an iPad. Just like in the future, if you have children, you can also turn on a TV and the children just watch TV and they become so quiet. They are not going to bother you. You just provide them the games and then continue to feed them all different kind of the entertainment. Or you spend time, turn off the TV, to spend time with them to pray, to go outside, to do all the meaningful activities. It makes totally different. This is your choice. But this is the Bible suggestion. Pray. Spend time. This is the most effective way. Okay. Right, so this is about the Q&A. Let's wrap up about the life of Joseph about in 10 minutes. Turn to 47, verse 28 to 31. This is Jacob's last request to Joseph. Jacob dwelt in Egypt for 17 years only. So he died at the age of 147. Within these 17 years, the environment suffered 5 years. Right? The Egyptians, they suffered for five more years in famine. But to Jacob, he has abundant supply because of God's grace. And his final word to Joseph is, please do not bury me in Egypt. Let me lie with my father, which is in Canaan, right? You should carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burial place. Why he considers so much, he concerns so much about his burial place. So this is the indication about Jacob's heart. He always can remember God's promise. God said, I will bring you up to here, to the Canaan. So Jacob, from his word to Pharaoh in 47 verse 9, he already said, I am just a pilgrim, right? Sojourner. I'm just come to here temporary only. And I will return back to the promised land. So his concern, Joseph answered, I will do as you have said. Okay? So his father said, you swear to me. And Joseph, this all right, he wanted to make sure he really will do it. And to be buried in the land of promise, not only to Jacob, also Joseph, because now they do have the same faith. Joseph inherited his father's faith. So later we will find out in chapter 50, Joseph also said, I have to be buried in that promised land, not in Egypt. Okay. So Israel, finally, he bowed himself on the head of the bed. In Hebrew 11:22,
Let's turn to this verse. This is the exactly the same verse with 47 for Genesis 47:31. But in Hebrews 11:22, he describes it in this way. When he was dying, praise and worship, leaning on the top of his staff. Okay, so these are two translations from different scripture, and they translate it in this different way. So, but either way, we can understand. Either he bowed himself on the head of bed because he actually was old already, Jacob, 147, and because he probably could not get off the bed and then worship, so he just leaned on the top of his staff and then worship. But this is a gesture showing he actually was dying and very weak already. Okay. All right, and then Joseph, Jacob blessed Joseph, and in his blessing, he blessed his family. Joseph took his two sons, right? So this is in the chapter 48 actually describes how Jacob finished his journey and then blessed Joseph's family. And then later in chapter 49, blessed all his 12 sons. So right now in 48 verse 1, it came to pass after these things that one told Joseph, behold, your father is sick. And then he took with him his two sons to visit his father. So Joseph, when he heard his father is sick, took two sons to see him. What? For what? Greatest opportunity. And then Joseph praised Jacob blessed Joseph's two sons. Jacob is dying. He has 12 sons, right? He has so many grandsons as well. But only Joseph, the Bible describes it. He took two sons to Jacob, and then Jacob, the grandfather, blessed President and a lot of blessing. So if we look at verse 3 and 4, Joseph in front of Jacob, then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me, and then repeated to him, to Joseph about God's appearing to him, the past faith. So specially repeat to Joseph and let him to inherit this faith and carry it down to next generation. So God's promise now Joseph he get. And this is a system from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob then to Joseph. And Joseph will become just like the firstborn. The firstborn. Okay. The reason here, Jacob said to his beloved son Joseph, say in verse 5, your two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, are mine. Why? Why he said, it's your sons become my son. For the reason. Joseph, one, and then become two, right? Because he have two sons, and they consider these two, Manasseh and Ephraim, belong to Jacob. So, he indicates, Joseph, he will inherit double portion. Okay? Double portion of the heritage. So, in Deuteronomy 21:17, it describes, this is how a firstborn should receive double portion. So Joseph become just like the firstborn. And of course, later in the chapter, in verse 7 and 8, 6, especially in verse 7, talking about Rachel, Joseph's mom, his mother, his beloved wife, Jacob's beloved wife, Rachel, she passed away, right, on the way back to Bethlehem. And it just make the Jacob sorrow a lot. So, in order to remember Rachel, Jacob asked these two sons belong to me. Because if Rachel didn't pass away that early, maybe she can produce more, right? Oh, this is how the mentality in Jacob's mind. So that's why he said these two sons belong to me and then you inherited from my inheritance. And then Ephraim will be the first as Reuben, and Manasseh be the second as Simeon. This is because in the Bible it describes Ephraim first. So in verse 5, say here the sequence, the order actually is important. Jacob, he mentioned Ephraim first and then Manasseh, right? And just like as Reuben and the Simeon are mine, should be mine, the same. So this is just like in later part, Jacob, he blessed, he treat Ephraim as the firstborn and Manasseh as the second. So in verse 20, and he blessed them that day, saying, "Indeed shall Israel bless, saying, God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh." And he said, "Ephraim before Manasseh." So Ephraim become the first. Okay, and Jacob blessed Joseph. In the verse 8, who are these? How come Jacob he could not tell? Oh, this two grandsons, because what? Because his eye was dim and cannot see through. He could not see. Okay. And Joseph answered, "They are my son, whom God has given me." In the place, God, give me the son. And then Israel, Jacob, he come up with a very grateful heart. Oh, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God also show me your offspring. So he really gives thanksgiving to God, because God's love, he can see Joseph's offspring. And then Joseph, his respectful heart before his father. And because these two sons of Joseph come to Jacob, so he specially blessed them, right? And then in verse 15, he pressed the leg. It's in verse 15. This is a God. It is what God. What is the God of Jacob? This is God who has fed me all my life long to this day. This is very famous. Saying of Jacob about God. God guide my way all my life. And the angel, see here, God of Father Abraham and Isaac, walk with me. God who has fed me all my life. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil. So the angel, especially angel, just like a messenger. God delivered him out of the evil days. So all refer to God, all this almighty God, and God will bless. And here said, let my name be named upon them. So these two sons will carry the name of Jacob, the Israel, become his offspring. Also the name of my fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and let them grow multitude in the earth. So that's why later in 12 tribe in of Israel, it described in the Deuteronomy 33, the Moses blessed all the 12 tribes, now Manasseh and Ephraim become two of the 12 tribes. Okay, so this is because of the blessing of Jacob. And also, Jacob, he make Ephraim become firstborn, and final he blessed Joseph in chapter 49 verse 22 to 26. This is very special. You can study by yourself to see how many blessings that Jacob really blessed Joseph, and it's wonderful. So you just, because time's up, so hopefully you can read by yourself the very last chapter. And this he continued to weep for the 8th, 9th, and final 10 times of weeping. I'll put the slide on upload to the website, so you can check it by yourself there. Okay, pray in silence. Amen. Let's take a break. 15 minutes, I think. Until 5 minutes.
Is Holy Communion ready?